Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and my guest is Tom Pashley, who is the president of Pinehurst. He's been the president here since 2014, and so great to reconnect. We were talking about seeing each other at the Open Championship at St. Andrews in 2000. Gosh, that was a long time ago, Tom, but thanks for the memories.
Yeah, well, it's great to see you again. It's been 21 years, I guess. But we're glad you're here, and we're glad you're getting to enjoy a little springtime in Pinehurst, as is so many other people. It's amazing to see all the interest in golf, and we're glad you're able to rekindle your relationship with Pinehurst. It's great having you here.
It is so great to be here. As I mentioned earlier, I have covered the 99 U.S. Open here at Pinehurst, the 2005 U.S. Open, the 2014 U.S. Open. So exciting, really, to be here for the U.S. Opens, and many more to come, which we'll talk about in a second. But it's also fun to come and really not have to work, come and play and enjoy Pinehurst as it's meant to be enjoyed, right? So many golfers are here.
So many golfers are here, and what a roller coaster ride we've been on. I think, you know, there was a time there when we weren't sure what was going to happen, but we saw a super busy fall season in 2020. And we were hopeful that that would continue. But, Ann, I've got to tell you, it's blown away every expectation we've had. The number of people who are coming to Pinehurst right now and enjoying being outside, enjoying being together. We can't wait for even more people. As the vaccines continue to roll out, I think more and more people are going to get comfortable traveling. And, gosh, it feels like they're all coming here right now because it's busier than we've ever seen it. But everyone's having a great time. We're able to make sure everybody gets the tee times they need, get the food and beverage that they need. I hope you get a chance to go see the brewery because that's been very popular with this crowd as well.
Yeah, so let's talk about the courses first, and then we can talk about the restaurants because the food has been really, really impressive. So take us through the courses, Tom. When people come here to Pinehurst, boy, talk about options.
Yeah, nine 18-hole golf courses plus the Cradle, which is our 9-hole short course. And so, you know, Donald Ross designed, I won't take you through all the designers, but Donald Ross designed the original four courses at Pinehurst, Pinehurst number 2 being his masterpiece where the U.S. Opens have been played. But we also have a Jack Nicklaus course is our newest course, if you will, Pinehurst number 9 that we acquired back in 2014. So we've got a couple Tom Fazio courses, a Reese Jones course, as well as Donald Ross and Gil Hance. So there's so much variety. And I think what we've seen over the last decade or so has been this resurgence of Pinehurst, interest in Pinehurst. And I think it started with Bill Coore and Ben Crenshaw when they restored Pinehurst number 2. And so that restoration, which happened in 2010, was so well received. I think that helped us also have the decision to hire Gil Hance to come in 2 years ago and kind of redo Pinehurst number 4. And what you'll see and what you've seen is this Pinehurst is known for the sandy sand hills aesthetic. So you get out, you get off the fairway, and you're not really in rough. You're in sand, you're in wiregrass, you're in pine straw, and sometimes you'll have an amazing lie, and it's a green light. Sometimes you'll be hovering in a pine straw or in a wiregrass bush, and you have very little hope. But the sand hills aesthetic of golf is really unique, and that's one of the reasons people love coming here.
I remember number 2 watching Martin Keimer and Michelle Wee navigate, you know, the redesign that you mentioned with Bill Coore and Ben Crenshaw. And boy, the fairways are very narrow. But as you say, if you're lucky and you actually, if your ball goes into the sandy area, you can hit out of that sandy area. But I just found the greens are just tough. And when I remember Martin Keimer's approach shots at that 2014 U.S. Open, he was so solid, so accurate. He knew where to place the ball, and he was actually able to execute. And then he made the putts. So, I mean, it sounds easy, right? But that's what you have to do. You have to really know where to place the ball on the greens on number 2 because those greens are brutal.
Yeah, they're the inverted saucer or turtleback shape. So people, you know, some people say it's like trying to land a ball on the hood of a Volkswagen Beetle. So sometimes they look larger than they really are. And you're right about Keimer. You know, in 2014, he kind of ran away with it. But if you go back and watch the video, if he did miss a green, which he did miss a lot, but when he did, he putted. So you find yourself in these green surrounds, greens complexes, and you have so many choices of how to play that ball. It could be a 60 degree wedge. It could be a putter. It could be a hybrid, a 3-wood. There's so many options. And sometimes You give golfers too many options and they have trouble committing to one. Keimer committed to using the putter. And I think when people come to Pinehurst for the first time, they're not used to that shot. They're used to chipping from around the greens. They get more grass under the ball. Here, they're pretty tight lies. And so usually the path of the lowest opportunity for making a big number is to go ahead and putt the ball, get it on the green, and go from there.
I just love the history here. Donald Ross, the house here off the third green on number two. And Pinehurst does such a great job in preserving that history with all the photographs and all the memorabilia that you see at the Carolina Inn and here at the clubhouse.
Yeah, the history of Donald Ross is fascinating to study. And if you really are a big Donald Ross fan, Pinehurst is where you have to come, because not only is it our courses, he also designed Pine Needles and Mid Pines just down the road in the Southern Pines Golf Club. So if you love Ross, please come here and learn more about him. He did come in 1900. He came from Scotland to Massachusetts, met the Tufts family that started Pinehurst, and the Tufts family convinced him to come down here to be our first golf professional and architect. And he began tinkering with the golf courses. Imagine, as you probably know, if you see the old photos, the greens back then were just sand. They were more square sand shapes. And after a group would leave the green, they would pull a piece of carpet behind them to smooth out their footprints. So Ross started without a lot of green contour. But then, as he built Pinehurst No. 2 in 1907, what really got him going was preparing for the PGA Championship, our first major, in 1936. So the greens were converted from sand to grass in 1935, and that's when he began to express himself with these contours and the shapes around the greens. So the Ross legacy in Pinehurst is alive and well, and you see those old black and white photos anytime you go through the Carolina Hotel or the clubhouse. But we're also focused on adding color photos to those hallways as well. So it really is neat that you can kind of walk down an architectural timeline that goes all the way back to Donald Ross, that brings you into the 50s with Ellis Maples, it gets you into the 70s and 80s with Rees Jones and Tom Fazio, and then Nicklaus in the 90s with Pinehurst No. 9. So you really get a little bit of everything when you come and play golf at Pinehurst. And then we're going to talk, I'm sure, about the cradle, but the cradle is kind of the new fun thing that we have here with our short course, where after you take yourself as seriously as you as want, playing Pinehurst No. 2, Ross's masterpiece, you can kick your shoes off and go listen to some music and grab a drink and play barefoot with just a couple of clubs. It's so fun.
It's so much fun. When we first arrived, we played the cradle. It's a Gil Hands design, built in 2017, 9 holes. And oh my gosh, people were having so much fun. Even if they weren't playing, they were sitting there watching and having a cocktail. And, you know, the music makes it just so light and airy. And it's so much fun, because you need to work on that part of, I know I need to work on my short game. But while you're doing that, you're just having a blast.
Yeah, so the holes range anywhere from 50 yards to 125 yards, and those are a lot of distances that you don't necessarily practice. So when I find myself having to hit a 50 or 60-yard shot, I can go back and say, oh, the fifth hole on the cradle is that same shot, and suddenly I'm not rolling the sod over it and regretting that shot. But no, the cradle has exceeded all of our expectations. It takes just about an hour to play. It's $50, and you can play multiple times for that $50. Like I mentioned, you can go barefoot. It's got the coolest beverage cart in golf. We call it the pine cone, and it sits up there on top of the third green, and you pass it a couple of times while you're playing, and it's got draft beer and all sorts of drinks. And like you mentioned, the music kind of keeps the vibe fun and light, and it's all about fun. You know, and I've seen three generations of golfers playing, with an 8-year-old and then a father and a grandparent. I see a lot of people pushing babies in strollers out there. So the cradle is your best place to have no intimidation. If you want to introduce somebody to the game of golf, you should really do it on the cradle, and watch them just have fun.
So you mentioned the cradle. We talked about number two, which when people come here to Pinehurst, number two, they want to play because of the U.S. Open fame. But what would you say is kind of like the gem or hidden gem that doesn't get as much play that you just think people really should play?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a fun one for us to answer. If I was to go somewhere to just get away from everything and still know that I'm in Pinehurst, I go to Pinehurst No. 8. Number 8 is Tom Fazio course. It was built in 1995 to celebrate our centennial anniversary, our 100 years. And so I like it because it's away from the main clubhouse and all the hustle and bustle. And there's just so much activity at the main clubhouse. Sometimes it's nice to get away. Other people would say that Pinehurst number 3, Donald Ross, it's another Donald Ross course. It's a par 68, plays 5,200 yards. That's a hidden gem. The greens are the most similar to Pinehurst number 2s. They've got a lot of undulation, but they're smaller. And so your short game really has to be on point. But the holes are shorter. So you have multiple drivable holes. And you know that maybe you should probably just hit an iron and play for your par. But you're tempted to see if you can drive the green. And suddenly you're scrambling all of a sudden. So number 3 kind of gives you the best of the sand hills. It gives you a Ross experience with some sandy wiregrass areas. And you're here at the main clubhouse. So those would be my 2 hidden gems.
There's so many, right? You want to play all of them. So I have a quick story on number 8. So back in 1999, I was guest of Club Corps and Robert Dedman, and we were both doing a book signing at Tom Stewart's golf history shop in town. You have to see that store if you're a history buff. And after the book signing, Robert Dedman, who, you know, Club Corps back in those days owned Pinehurst, and now this family continues to own the course, correct? Yep. So Robert said, let's go play number 8. And the U.S. Open was going on. And I said, okay. And it was like being with Moses as he parted the Red Sea, as we just walked through these masses of people to get to number 8. And number 8 had just been built, I think, a year before that. So it was just so special to be able to play number 8 with this rock star here, Robert Dedman.
And to be so close to a U.S. Open being played. And it kind of, I guess, is the point I was making. You can have a U.S. Open going on Pinehurst number 2 with 50,000 people here, and you can escape out to number 8 and enjoy the beauty and the serenity. And if I remember correctly, that the times I saw Mr. Dedman play, I don't know that I ever had a chance to play with him. He liked to tee it up in the fairway, didn't he? He kind of took wherever it landed, he wanted to tee it up because it was a lot easier to hit it off a tee than it was out of the ground. But you mentioned the Dedman family, and they are the owners of Pinehurst. And the neat thing about them is that they really consider themselves stewards more so than owners. They know that they're taking care of Pinehurst for a future generation. And they've been the ones investing all the resources that have allowed us to make all these exciting changes that we've talked about.
It was just an honor to get to know him, and what a golf mind he had. He took lessons from Harvey Pinnick and had all kinds of stories, you know, that he enjoyed sharing. But let's talk, Tom, about the USGA and them coming here and putting up a golf house here in Pinehurst and having a testing center and a museum and a welcome center. That's big news. How do you think the USGA's presence here in Pinehurst will impact the town?
Well, it takes me back to where you and I first met, as I reminded you in 2000 at St. Andrews. There are special places in the game, and I think Pinehurst has always been one of them, along with St. Andrews and others. But to have a physical presence of our national governing body in Pinehurst, so as you drive into the clubhouse to see their facility there and to know that that's where the golf ball that you're playing has been tested and the irons and woods that you're playing have been tested for conformity. But it's also where Pinehurst number 2 exists and where the U.S. Open is played every 5 or 6 years. You know, at St. Andrews, you have the R&A, you have the old course, and you have the Open Championship about every 5 years. So for me, it's this connection back to St. Andrews, and it really just makes a pilgrimage to Pinehurst make all the more sense in the world. It's neat to have U.S. Open Championships, and we're going to have 4 future ones in addition to the Golf House Pinehurst announcement. And it's neat because every generation of golfers connects with a different player. And to know that every 5 to 6 years, we're going to have the best players in the game and hopefully the best women in the game as well. We had the back-to-back opens in 14. So I think there'll be other championships in addition to the U.S. Open that'll be contested here. But for us, it's just a great validation that all the things that we've done to evolve and to stay current. Neat to think that Pinehurst number 2, that tested the best players in the world in 1907, is still able to challenge the best players in 2024. Speaks to the brilliance of Donald Ross, and just the fact that course can stand the test of time makes us super proud.
And can you, Tom, talk about, you know, some of the changes that we'll see before that U.S. Open in 2024? I know that there's all constantly things going on here at the Pinehurst Resort.
Yeah, the cool thing about Pinehurst number two is really I don't think anything has to change. Maybe there'll be a tee box here or there that we don't even know about yet. But it's really, you know, you think of other U.S. Open venues, the fairways get narrowed, the rough gets grown up, and you're playing a golf course that the regular public doesn't see on a daily basis. Pinehurst number two really doesn't need any changing to host the world's best players. Green's got to get a little firmer. Speed's got to get a little quicker around the greens. But other than that, it really is kind of the closest you can come as a player to playing a U.S. Open course every day. Not a lot of changes between now and then.
How about there's going to be some additional rooms put in here near the clubhouse?
Yeah, so that one of the neat things about the anchor site announcement that the USGA made, that Pinehurst is the first anchor site. And as a result of that, we'll host the 29 U.S. Open, 35, 41, and 47. It's not easy to rattle all those off, but
impressive.
I've done it a lot. But that allows us to plan for the future and to do things with a little more permanence. So we're in the process right now of evaluating the concept of building a new hotel that would, oddly enough, be our first hotel with a view of golf. We have three hotels in the Village of Pinehurst. None of them overlook any golf. And so where we're talking about building this hotel would be right on top of the Cradle. You'd have a view of the nine-hole short course we talked about. And we would also like to be able to have a facility there for the players during the U.S. Open. It would be so neat to be able to park in the parking lot as a player, walk straight into this locker room facility, and then they would walk right out onto the tee of the Cradle, which is their U.S. Open practice facility. So we hope that we're able to build this 34-room hotel that we're in the planning stages of right now, and it would be opening probably just in time when we host the 2024 U.S. Open in June.
So you've been here since October 2014. Tom, talk about some of the highlights. I mean, so much has happened with the Pinehurst Resort since you've taken over at the helm here. What's been a highlight for you?
Boy, so I've been the president since then, but I've been at Pinehurst for 25 years. So I am, you know, this place is in my DNA at this point, and I love nothing more than welcoming people here and making sure they find something that they can connect with at Pinehurst. But, you know, the highlights for me, gosh, I go back to in 2014 when we had the U.S. Open. Payne Stewart received the Bob Jones Award, and Tracy was there, and Chelsea, his daughter, and they, I've got a photo of Tracy walking over to Payne's statue, and putting her hands on his cheeks and gave him a kiss on the cheek. So the Payne Stewart memories are near and dear to my heart. But I think what's most satisfying to me and what's been the neatest over the last decade or so is we've been able to add so much, and we really haven't lost anything. So we're always aware of what makes Pinehurst special. It's the history and the tradition and the rocking chairs. But at the same time, we're able to do something like I'll go down the Pinehurst Brewing Company path. So we had this great old building that was overgrown. You couldn't even see it behind all the kudzu and the overgrowth. And it was the original steam plant in the Village of Pinehurst where the power was generated. And it's always been part of Pinehurst Resort, and it was decommissioned as a power plant 30 years ago. And it was just becoming a storage unit for us. And Bob Dedman, the owner of Pinehurst, decided he wanted to do something unique in that building, and we turned it into a restaurant and a microbrewery. So we've got some of the best barbecue you've ever had and some of the best IPAs and lagers that you can ever have. And so for me, it's that constant evolution and looking at things that we can add without taking anything away is what's been most enjoyable.
Yes, I think maintaining that charm, as we talked about before, is just so special. And to sit on those rocking chairs, whether you're here at the clubhouse overlooking, you know, some of the golf courses or at the Carolina Inn and sitting there, you know, having a cup of coffee, or, you know, anybody who, you know, would smoke a cigar, just sitting on that wraparound, you know, porch is very, very special. And then, you know, just strolling through town. We took bicycles this morning and rode around and ran into people we know. It's such a small town. You know everybody, right? Is there anything that you yet have to do here? I mean, there's been so much progress since 2014. Is there anything yet that you want to do that you haven't?
Well, we haven't mentioned the spa, which we do have a great spa. So we encourage everybody who enjoys that type of thing to come here and enjoy our wonderful spa. You know, so what's next? The great news is, in addition to this, you know, normally it'd be a future U.S. Open, but now that we've got an abundance of those, we're so fortunate. The neat thing that we have is we have land, and we have about 1,000 acres, Ann, that we've owned for 20 years or so, and Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw have routed a golf course on paper down there. But I would tell you, you know, now more so than ever, with the popularity that we're seeing in the resurgence of golf right now, we're spending more time wondering about what is the future of golf at Pinehurst. And we've got the 9 courses plus the Cradle, which is kind of half a course, but it's probably time to be thinking about double digits, and finding out what's the next golf course at Pinehurst going to be. And Bill and Ben, again, have routed a golf course there, and they love the land, and it's got some neat topography. Part of it is on land that used to be a golf course called The Pit. So it was a kind of a sand mine, and there's a lot of interesting movement to the land down there. So I think we're going to spend a lot more time this year deciding what's the next chapter of golf at Pinehurst.
So there'll be a number 10.
Well, Ann, I didn't say that. You know, it's not a breaking news, but you know, we've got the land, and we've got ideas, and now it's more about the need. You know, we've been waiting for the time, and again, I think it's because of what we're seeing in the marketplace right now, that people are playing golf, and we're fortunate to be on the bucket list, which actually I kind of don't like being on your bucket list, because that implies a one and done. You know, we say we don't want to be on your bucket list. We want to be on your annual trip list, because there's so many different ways and times you can come here. But yeah, not a breaking announcement, but more discussion about number 10.
Well, I appreciate that. That's always good to have discussion announcements on the show. Tom Pashley, president of Pinehurst, thank you so much, and continued success. And it's been real fun being here this week, and hope to come back more often when I'm not working.
Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for sharing all the great things that are happening here with your audience. It's great to rekindle our relationship. Hope you enjoy the rest of your stay.
Thanks so much.